Channel Radio, broadcasting from Haglands Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channel Radio.
It's Angela Bryce Stevenson here on Who Cares Wins Show, your health and well-being radio show here on channelradio.co.uk. And I'm not alone, listener. I have a friend. Just the one.
Hello, everybody. Jan Mulligan here.
Hello, Jan.
Hello,
and
Angela.
How's Greenleaf Ergonomics, Jan?
It's very well, thank you. Yes,
busy week. Last week.
Unfortunately, busy week last week, so I couldn't make
and
it to the studio.
And then I hear you're wrecking computers.
I am. My computer decided to turn its toes up. And very badly turn its toes up. But then the gods were obviously with me, because 2 hours later, for no apparent reason, it said, no, I'm fine, actually. And it woke up again.
It was obviously having some downtime.
But it was a very serious error. I mean, even the
Did you have the blue screen of death?
No, I had the black screen of death.
Oh, no.
With an old-fashioned DOS message saying, there is no operating system.
Oh, dear.
And even the techie guy that I phoned up in a state of panic said, no, you'll have to bring that in. There's nothing you can do with that. And then for some weird reason, I thought, I'll give it one more go before I unplug it.
Yeah.
And it sprang back into life. Wow. So I'm very grateful to the computer gods.
There's something maybe unstable in it, though, Jan. You might have to get it checked out.
Well, could be. I think it knows that the C word is now official.
Yay! Running up to Christmas.
There we go. She's unbearable today, folks.
Yay!
She's jumping all over the place like a proper tigger. Because she's excited.
No, a reindeer.
Oh, okay.
Let me reindeer. Can you tell?
You'll have to dress up next week and we'll take some photos.
Yeah. Well, this is sort of like a Christmas jumper.
Okay.
So, you know, there we go.
Well, I think I beat you then, because I've got my Christmas badge on. RSPB.
Did you have your advent calendar this morning?
I don't have an advent calendar.
Got my countdown to Christmas. I've got an advent candle. And I've got an advent calendar / box of chocolates from my mother. And bless her. And I also have my four candles. So the 4 weeks.
Right.
Advent.
Your single advent candle. Is
candle.
That significant in any way, or just that
it's
you
a
like?
Countdown. Just it has numbers. And
so
you
as
just
it
burn
burns.
It down. Yes.
So do you have to blow it out each day, or is it supposed to last?
Oh, no. You have to blow it out until, you know, when it gets past number one, then you blow it out.
Right.
And then tomorrow, number two, you light it. So, yeah.
Okay.
So just see
how long does a day bit last, do you think? Sorry.
It depends on the candle, actually. It does depend on the candle. I have to do a time and motion study.
Yes, please.
Don't I?
I demand the facts and figures.
So, listener, do you have any countdown to Christmas traditions that you have? And let us know.
Absolutely.
As always, we are on all the various methods of communication that you can choose to get in touch with us. We are, as always, on Twitter. We've got a live feed here. I noticed we've got a lovely new follower, Jan, there, Green Light.
Green, I like the greens.
When I had a look at their bio, they were technical people.
Yes, you see, if it goes again.
Eastbourne, PC, laptop, well, you know, could do it over the phone.
No fix, no fee.
There you go. So you can give them a call.
Absolutely.
But they are also supporting World AIDS Day, which is of course, today. We'll give that another mention later on. If you want to tweet us what you're up to, maybe you're listening while you're lunching, which is a good thing to do. We're very happy if you're having lunch.
Your Christmas countdown.
Having a rest. And so on @CaresWins, you can tweet us. You can also email us, whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. And we'll pick up those emails in here in the studio, and we can then give you a shout out or have a conversation with you. You can also post on Facebook. I know last week we had the lovely Gwen. She posted on Facebook.
Hello,
so
Gwen.
If you're listening, Gwen, hello. And some of you I know listen back later. So if it's Thursday, then happy Thursday. And hope you're listening in. And again, do tweet us, because we're always on the Twitter.
You just have to imagine Angela ramped up three more days by then.
Exactly. So just I've had 4 days of Christmas and chocolate and advent candles and all sorts of things. And then, of course, we are on the Facebook. We do have our Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and that is Who Cares Wins Radio Show. So, I was exhausted after that, running through all the various options. And, of course, I do forget the traditional method of telephone.
The telephonic communicator.
Yes. This marvellous machine, apparently, it can allow me to talk to people down these wires.
Wow.
If you want to ring us, get on the phone, 01-303-874-998. And we can have a laugh with you and a chat, and also share any hints and tips or even events that you might be involved with to do with health and well-being, nutrition, fitness, exercise, being well, being relaxed, being chilled out, and being excited for Christmas. Now, last week, Jan, I was starting to air some of our interviews from the Wellbeing Symposium, and we've got some more today. One thing I didn't mention last week, because I ran out of time, Jan, would you believe?
You were on your own, talking to yourself, and you ran out of time. I like it.
And so I did forget to mention, I'd mentioned at the beginning, and I said I would tell you who they were, but we did have a list of sponsors for the Wellbeing Symposium that I wanted to give a big shout out to and say thank you from our perspective of making sure the show went ahead. And obviously the lead sponsor I did actually get to interview. So I went over and had a chat with Brett Hills, and he was from the Health Insurance Group.
Right.
So I've had a chat with him, and we're going to air his interview next week.
Okay. So we're getting primed.
So he was the major lead sponsor. Mm-hmm. And then the other sponsors, I'm just going to read them out for you, just so you know. Look at this. Look, Russell.
There's a piece of paper.
I do like
front.
It.
It's got a brochure
we're
from
in this
the show.
Brochure. Look, who cares wins are in this brochure.
We are.
So yes, the Health Insurance Group was our lead sponsor, or Wellbeing. Look, I'm talking about our symposium.
We're part
Jan.
Of the team. I feel. I'm thinking. Honorary big. Team.
Of course, there was Golding Vision. They were there previous years as well, who support the work of Golding Homes in building sustainable communities through their innovative programs of community development. Optum Healthcare, which I hadn't come across before. Optum, O-P-T-U-M Healthcare, a provider of employee assistance programs.
Right.
In fact, it was quite scary because I went up to the stand and the lady that was on there, I knew from a previous life. She worked in a different company and I'd worked in a different company. It was like, I know you. Which I often say to people.
And they back away. But she didn't back away because she did know you.
She stood her ground. Kent County Council, of course, and Wellbeing People. And, of course, you'll hear this in Ben's interview as well, but Pillory Barn, who are the, they're the great organisers behind the whole of the marketing, the leaflets, the posters, the
information,
tickets, the
absolutely
information,
everything.
Absolutely everything. Yeah. So, a big well done to them because, again, it was a fantastic day. It really, really was.
Can you imagine the sound of that sigh at 6 o'clock on a
can
Wednesday when it's all done and dusted and they can go?
But also there must be an element for them of, you know, oh, it's over for another year. But
they're already talking next year.
Get it in your diary because Ben will remind you when we play his interview. I'm going to keep his till last because we caught him at the end of the day, just because we couldn't catch him before. But it was nice to catch him at the end of the day and sort of review on how the day had gone for him and for Wellbeing People and for the whole event.
Yeah.
And obviously being a slightly different format. So, we'll have a chat with him. So I'm leaving him to the end with the interview.
Quite right. Best till last.
Well, that's right, you see. But he does mention, so I'm going to tell you now, if you want to get it in your diary that you think, I keep missing out each time, get it in your diary because it's very easy to remember because next year they're planning for the 11th of November, which of course is Remembrance Day.
So remember
the 11th of November, which is not only Remembrance Day, it's going to be the Wellbeing Symposium in Kent, and probably at the Kent Event Centre as well. So there you are. There's a date for your diary for 2015.
Have you got your diary? Some people get their diaries for Christmas.
I'm trying to get mine, actually.
So post-it notes all over the wall.
I have a particular need and a particular style that I like, so I'm trying to have to search it on the internet now.
Oh, right.
I know. But anyway, now, before I go into the first interview, which was the lovely Sophia Cannon, she was talking to us on stage about wellbeing linked with school and school education. Just before I go into that, we, talking about wellbeing and sort of days off, I treated myself and my mum and we went to see The Merry Widow on Wednesday last week at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells.
All right.
Fantastic. Absolutely fabulous cast. Brilliant, brilliant show. I didn't realise that also was slightly humorous. But yeah, brilliant. And I love the music of Franz Lehár. So I was in my element.
You were also.
Mum and I were like, you know, la, la, la. But on our little journey before we had to wait for the theatre, up us two, we wandered around lovely Tunbridge Wells and we went into the Royal Palace Arcade.
Okay.
That's it, Royal Palace Arcade. And we're presented, I posted it on our Facebook page, actually. If you haven't seen it, listener, have a look through our timeline and you'll see a Father Christmas on his sleigh with two reindeer.
That's a fantastic.
And I
picture.
Took a photo of the Father Christmas, although the reindeer as well, made out of dried fruit.
Incredible.
So there were strawberries, raspberries, apricots, oranges, cinnamon stick, all sorts of things. But it's huge, like life-size Santa Claus.
I mean, I read your posting,
yeah,
and I had to read it again because firstly the size of it,
yeah,
so the scale, to have the imagination and the artistry to do it, and then the fact that she's used dried fruit.
I know, and the patience, my goodness, the patience. I mean, she did say that she had a bit of a team to help her put it all together, but amazing. So please, if you don't know this lady's work, although they used to have, some of you may even know this, they used to have a shop in the Pantiles, but because of family moves and things, they're now in Devon. So, but you can still have a look at her work and also what she's up to. And if you're nearby or you're fancying a visit or a day trip to Devon, I don't know, can you do it in a day? Maybe.
Maybe
depends
not.
On your car.
Yes.
But go and have a look at their website. It's Polyfields, that P-O-L-L-Y, Polly, as in Polly put the kettle on, polyfields.co.uk. They're also on Facebook. They have a Facebook page. If you just type Polyfields on Facebook, you'll find them. Or if you go onto our Facebook page, Who Cares Wins Radio Show, you'll see that I've posted the photo of Santa, and underneath is the link to her Facebook page.
So she's done these giant Santas and reindeers. Does she make things to order, or does she got a selection that she sells?
I mean, if you have a look at their website, there's dinosaur heads. There's all sorts of things on there. Amazing.
Wow.
And a lot of big. Mm. And I just can't, you know.
She's waving her hands around. Big people.
Yes, sorry, big.
Is Angela pulling her hands. Size of the studio.
Huge. So I just wanted to give a shout out because I thought, well, you know, good old well-being. Actually, it just really made me feel good.
It makes you smile. I saw the photo and it made me smile.
Big smile. But. And then I got Mum in front of the first reindeer and said, take a photo, Mum. So we did that to the tourist bit. And then I had a lovely chat with the lady that was on the stand as well. So, yeah, Polyfields, go and have a look. So let's have a little listen to Sophia Cannon. I'm not going to say any more than that, and let her explain her take on well-being. I've just nabbed another one of our wonderful speakers today, Sophia Cannon.
Indeed.
And Sophia, our listeners may be already aware of you from your other avenues because you've already been on television and radio.
A lot of television, a lot of radio.
Yes.
Across ITV, Sky, the BBC is probably what I'm very well known for.
Yes, and obviously it's family barrister, and also there's something else I'm interested
in. I do social justice commentary.
That's right.
So I do a lot of political commentary as well on behalf of women, socially, shall we say, the socially quiet people that don't feel sometimes that they are at risk or see themselves as different.
Yes.
For example, big strong men, they've got the highest suicide rate amongst us. Why is that? So I champion odd causes, but the people who feel that they are really in need, but they perhaps they are.
Fabulous. And your talk today, I just wanted to give a little snippet to our listener,
yes.
If I may, that you mentioned this lovely link with the school analogy.
Yes,
And well-being.
Yes.
If you could just give a couple of tips there for our listeners of what you mentioned.
When you go to school, your first day in school, the front and centre of that institution's consideration is your well-being. You can't work, and it's from the environment, it's from the processes and the people that work there. For example, the environment. You never eat at your desk at school. There's always a canteen. There's always somewhere you sit and you meet.
I remember I used to be leading one of those tables.
Yes,
at school.
I bet you were in year six.
Yes.
By the time, yes. And you
used to look after your little, you know, newbies.
Yes. And that's the whole idea, that you work your way up through the school. And then when you're in year six, like you said, you lead your own table. But when you're first in, you learn how to eat, you learn how to socialise. But when we go to work, we tend to eat on our own. We pop to the local supermarket.
Indeed. Yes.
And using that analogy, the best things about school, for example, the nativity play, it's coming up now. It's the whole idea that the whole school gets behind the play in the year.
Yes.
And it's always the first beat of the school experience. Perhaps just because Christmas falls there, but it allows you to get to know the rest of the class very quickly.
Yes.
And in contrast with sports day at the end of the year, when you're all competing and you're all trying your best, and it's that whole idea that work could be more like school and we could be so much better if we could.
It could. It's just fabulous. If you have that concept, it would be great. And maybe we could start championing it with our listeners. We can hear. Maybe some of the organisations could tune in and let us know what they're up to.
Yeah. Yes, I think my other analogy was the house system.
Yes.
And we always laugh at that, don't we? The sorting hat in Harry Potter.
In Harry Potter.
And we always think, my God, please don't let us be in Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Or Slytherin.
Well done for remembering those names.
Yes. I'm a mother now. I'm reading them all over again. But it's the idea that the house system in itself is an inbuilt pastoral care system.
Yes.
And it's pastoral care throughout the years. So the more senior you are, the more you move on and help the new entrants into that company.
Yeah.
And equally the board members or the teachers, they're also involved and roped in their little team. And not just withstanding that, it's work can be quite an isolating environment if your workplace is quite large. Apparently, even over something ridiculous like 50 people. If you don't know the people in accounts, if you're in HR or
yes.
the people in development or technology, I mean, who knows their IT guy? He just shows up, fixes their computer,
and then disappears. Yes.
Yes, but what happens if you are all in houses or groups where you have to socialise, have a common endeavour?
Yes.
Can you imagine what workplace would be like?
It would be fabulous.
Yes.
And I was interested in your 8 Ds of doom.
Yes, the 8 Ds, and I could.
Did you jump down 8 in one go, or have they built over?
They've
the
built over the time. Now I hope I've got them all in a note. But my goodness, there's debt, there's death, there's disability.
Disease.
Denial.
Divorce.
Oh, goodness.
So I was ticking off some of them, so yes, I've had those.
But it's...
Well, I'm missing.
It's the whole idea that you come... Each time in your life, you're going to face these because that's living.
Yes.
And it's the anticipation of those and not letting them happen to you, but anticipating, for example, what would happen if my parents passed away? Does anybody have a plan?
Yeah.
We don't have those plans for divorce. Actually, if I have to move a workplace, how would I do that? How would I do this? How would I do that? It's anticipating those challenges to your well-being before they happen.
Definitely. And the other thing I just wanted to perhaps just finish with, the analogy you mentioned with generally life and our fast-paced life and our always-on culture that also Eleanor was alluding to. And one thing that you do as a family that you shared with us on your Wednesdays,
Wireless Wednesdays.
Wireless Wednesdays.
Yes.
And just for our listeners, if you explain what you do.
My husband. No, I don't do it.
Oh,
no, I'm not allowed.
Oh, right.
He comes in on Tuesday night after work and turns off the wireless. So for a full, actually it's a bit longer than 24 hours, we aren't allowed television, radio, the internet, and that's it. And sometimes he actually plugs the phone out as well. So we as a family are completely switched off and
go
have
offline.
To talk. Yeah, go offline. And it's the best. It's even better than the weekend sometimes.
Yes.
Because we get to know each other. It's right in the middle of the week.
Yes.
It gives us almost a second weekend.
Brilliant.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Absolutely. Well, if our listeners, especially as our listeners, we're on a Monday, so that's good. They won't have logged off.
You're going to switch us off on Monday.
Thank you very much. It really was a pleasure to catch some time with you.
Thank you.
Oh, I do love that. That was Sophia Cannon, who was presenting at the Wellbeing Symposium a couple of weeks ago. And you are listening to her through the interviews that we did, Who Cares Wins radio show. And I just love that Sophia talks about a wireless Wednesday with her family. Now, it sounds like it's sort of maybe a bit of an instigation from her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, no bad thing where it comes from.
It
whose
doesn't
idea
matter,
it is.
Does it? No.
Doesn't matter. It's a great idea. And it reminded me of when I was away in August over the summertime and up in the Lake District, where we had no internet connection, no broadband, no Wi-Fi connection. Where we were in the hills, we just had no phone connection. We were obviously miles away from the mast, so we had no phone connection. So we were literally offline.
So is that initial anxiety?
Wonderful.
And then
well, actually, there
relaxing.
Wasn't even for me an anxiety
okay.
about it. It was just like, do you know what? Yeah, I'm away. It's the holiday season. I am switching off. And it was just, although I still, as I joked, as I did, because of one of the shows we uploaded, that I was sitting in a car park uploading it in Kendal, because that's where I could get
the natives were worried, folks.
But it is true that actually there's so much to be benefited from just logging off for an hour, 10 minutes, a day, you know, an evening, 24 hours they've extended it to. And I just think, yeah, we just need to encourage more and more people to do that.
Yeah.
See the benefits of, we used to cope years and years ago without all of this technology.
Pre-mobile phones.
I know.
There's a generation out there don't know what we're talking about.
I mean, do you remember party lines on telephones?
Yes.
You know, when you had to share your own phone with next door or listen to their conversations.
yes.
And the other thing I love about Sophia's talk, she mentions this whole analogy linking with, you know, why couldn't we, can't we learn, you know, work Can't they learn from school? Yeah. So much we hear when we're looking at education, talking about schools, is, and I've worked in delivering some workshops in schools for preparing them for work experience, mm-hmm. or looking at, you know, thinking about how they prepare themselves for interviews. And it's interesting how there's a lot of focus on, you know, life skills and work skills, yeah. and employability skills. And actually now she's just turning that coin to say, hey, but the workplace could learn a lot from education. Mm. And having that, yes, we've forgotten, haven't we, that we used to all have lunch together.
Yes.
We used to go in the lunchroom or the canteen or the, I can't, we didn't call it a canteen. I can't remember what it was called. But ours was, you know, it was the cafeteria? Huge assembly room, and that's where we went in. All the tables were out. Mm-hmm. Do you remember those springy legs that used to cut your fingers off?
No.
Because I leaded a table, okay. in my latter years of my primary school especially, you had those tables that you used to have to take out from the back of the cupboard, and they were all, the legs were like sprung in.
Okay.
And you had to then spring them out. I didn't like them.
Primary school was a set room for us. It didn't really get, it got used as classrooms, but it didn't get used as anything else. So the tables kind of separate.
Just eating with other people.
Yes.
And creating that community, that conversation. Okay, yes, I can.
When you
I
start
can hear
to
some people shouting at me that it was the whole lot of bullying going on as well, where people were flicking bees at each other.
But you start to learn people are different. So, you know, somebody likes their custard, yeah. somebody else doesn't, and you
yeah.
share around.
Gypsy
and
tart.
Oh, she's off.
Oh. Talking of food, I've made a Christmas cake, Jo.
Have you?
Yes.
Is this because you did Christmas pudding day with your mother?
I did, and I think it's inspired me. And, you know, it's really, in my house, it's really starting to feel a lot like Christmas. I had to do it, Jan. She's put her fingers in her ears now, listener. She's not listening. I'm going to sit back and sing along. Enjoy.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. The sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas.
Channel Radio, broadcasting from Hagelands Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channel Radio.
Aww.
You're happy.
You're listening to Who Cares Wins with me, Angela Bryce-Stimson, all Christmased up and annoying, Jan.
Well, you do know what week this is, don't you? It is Anger Awareness Week for all of us who are not quite ready for Christmas.
I'm challenging you, you see, to look at the anger and how it arises when people mention that word Christmas. And so, yes, that was a wonderful Bing Crosby. And it is beginning to look like Christmas in the shops. Mm-hmm. Although I think they have been a little bit more reserved this year, perhaps. I don't know. What do you think? If you want to tell us otherwise, then tweet us on @CaresWins or on the email, whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. Of course, the phone is still here. If you want to use the old dogmo, 01303 874 998. Although we've got a jam-packed show, I'm very conscious that time whizzes by. And one of the other things I wanted to pick out from her little talk that she highlighted in there about her 8 D's of doom.
Oh yes,
which was part of her talk. So just for the listeners to, and actually I've got 9, Jan. I think I've added one in, Sophia. So apologies if I've now created the 9 D's of doom. But she was explaining how she'd actually gone through all of these as well. But she was saying that there is disease, depression, debt, denial, disability, divorce, diet, drugs, death. Perhaps not in that order.
And it's not necessarily your death, it's a death you're dealing with.
Yes, yeah. So yes, I think she made a point in her speech. She said, wouldn't it be great if every employer would engage in these type of conversations with their employees or offer avenues for people to engage in conversations about those topics? Because we all at some point go through them.
Having a first aider is done, but maybe having a mental health aider.
I think it's a great idea to have this, you know, like a buddy system, but it's sort of more promoted that this is, you know, somebody to talk to about everything, not just the physical, oh, I've, you know, broken my arm falling down the stairs, I need to put it in the accident book. There's all sorts of things there. But I think, yeah, maybe we need to go back to that sort of, you know, the old school days, but the good part of the old school days.
Because we've touched on the mental health there. Mm. I went on that 2-day health awareness training course. It was called Mental Health First Aid. You see? So it links brilliantly.
Yay.
And just one thing, they say there are 5 steps to assisting somebody with mental health.
Not 3 steps.
No. We have 5. And it's called ALGEE. A-L-G-E-E.
Oh.
Okay.
So
A is assess the risk. And what you're doing is you're assessing the risk that that person might be depressed enough, unwell enough to commit suicide or to self-harm. So be of harm to themselves or possibly be of harm to somebody else. So that's your priority.
Mm, that's like a first aider. You assess the risk.
Absolutely. L is for listen non-judgmentally. So hear what they have to say.
Mindfulness.
Listen to what they have to say. G is for give reassurance and information. So there is nothing wrong with how you're feeling. It's positive. What can we do about it? Where can we go to get help? E is encourage the person to get appropriate professional help.
Good.
And the remaining E is encourage self-help strategies. So a nice little, what's it called? Acronym?
Yes.
Yes, nice. So we'll post that. Because I like that.
I'm not having another quiz.
No. It's not a quiz. It's an information sharing. But that's fantastic. 5 steps to mental health first aid.
Brilliant. Well, as I say, I just think that, you know, the employers, but also I think there's an element, and I touched on this with Brett Heels, and you'll hear that in his interview later on in a couple of weeks' time. And he talked about this whole sort of, you know, the element of responsibility for individuals as well to look after their health. And, of course, the health MOT roadshow that well-being people are doing as well. So enough about us, enough about going back to my school childhood days of Christmas as well. Of course, what did I play in the Christmas Nativity play, Jan?
The donkey.
What's she like? This impression she has of me, listener. I played Mary.
I didn't say the A word.
I did play Mary.
You did play Mary.
I played, and I loved it, because that meant I got to snog Joseph. And he was really lovely, Brian, me, and
okay,
he was
too lovely. Much information, moving swiftly onwards.
Takes me back. Anyway, I digress, as always. Let's talk about Wellbeing Symposium. And the other interview that was from another fabulous lady was Eleanor Mills. Some of you may know her, as she is the editor of the Sunday Times.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely quip she did put up, didn't she? She said that something about, if you don't know me, then you need to go buy paper.
Go buy paper.
And her take on well-being was also focusing on women and work well-being. So let's hear from Eleanor Mills. So I'm here now. I'm just catching Eleanor before she jumps ship.
and heads off to Pastors New. Eleanor, a fantastic presentation. Just for our listeners, tell everyone, first of all, who you are. Just to remind our listeners, in case they've not heard of you, or maybe not read your newspaper.
I'm Eleanor Mills. I'm editorial director of the Sunday Times, and I'm a columnist on the paper. I'm also chair of Women in Journalism. So I'm a passionate believer in women's well-being in the workplace, particularly around things like pregnancy and being working mothers and the kind of stress that women put on themselves.
Yeah, fantastic. And it was very entertaining, your talk that you gave within the Wellbeing Symposium there, because, again, this subject of women and well-being and women in the workplace can be sometimes a very fraught discussion.
Yeah.
Sometimes people won't necessarily want to raise it. So for our listeners, for this perspective of whether they're thinking about families or have families at the moment, what would be your biggest tip for them to consider regarding their own health and well-being and also trying to get that balance?
Well, one of the slides that I used in my presentation was of the when the oxygen masks come down if you're on a plane. We all know that from the safety talk. And one of the key things there is that you're, as a parent, you're encouraged to put your own oxygen mask on before you try and look after your child.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's a really important metaphor for women, because I think that too many of us put our own health, well-being, emotional stability right at the bottom of the list. And I talked about that quite a lot. I'm the mother of two young girls. And actually, you have to keep yourself on the road. You've got to put something back in, whether it's I have to do some exercise or my back completely seizes up, so I do Pilates twice a week. I have to kind of get to, I know I can't go out more than two or three times a week, or I'm so exhausted I can't function.
Yes.
If you're going to, and my mum used to say to me, if you're going to function like a Ferrari, you need to eat like a Ferrari. So I try and eat properly, lots of fruit and vegetables and kind of, and but all that kind of stuff is actually really crucial for women, because we put our own, you can't run on empty.
No.
And if you, and life is a marathon, not a sprint. So if you try and always kind of put yourself and your health at the bottom of the list, you end up sick and not able to look after or support any of your loved ones. And that's my really key message. And the other thing is around when you go back to work after being pregnant, and really standing up for the fact that you might need some kind of flexible time, but also saying to women at that point, don't give up. You know, you've often, we've lots of us go to university now, we've set up careers. So I would say it can be a real struggle when you're first starting out and you're a mum and you're trying to juggle work and home. Mm. Those first few years are tough. Hang in there.
Absolutely.
Even if you really scale back, keep a line into what you used to do before, you'll really be grateful when you're older that you did that. I've seen too many of my peers give up and lose everything that they'd worked so hard for, because it's so hard to get back in again.
Mm-hmm.
So however tenuous, however much you cut back, keep that link so you can get back in if
Definitely.
You need to.
Because life is so fast.
Yeah, life is so fast. And
it
also
is.
All of us women need to be able to support ourselves and our children.
Mm.
I mean, it's a real kind of fact of life. My mum always used to say to me, always get your own qualification, earn your own money, have your own bank account, and then you're never at the mercy of somebody else.
Absolutely.
And if you could talk to the 6-year-old you, is there anything looking back you'd do differently?
Six-year-old Eleanor. I was saying this to my daughter last night, I would just say, believe in yourself, you know, hang in there, don't try and be like everybody else, you know, keep buggering on, KBO, as Kate Church used to say, but also really believe that you will kind of, you'll win out in the end. If you're a nice person, you're kind and you do things for other people and you stick to your passions, really believe that, you do something that you love and that you're good at.
Brilliant.
It'll come good in the end.
Thank you.
And
so
marry someone who will support you in what you do, not necessarily who everybody else thinks you should marry, but the person who's actually your fit
for the partnership, friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
That support network.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Great
for your time,
Eleanor.
Really, really appreciate it.
Wow, she's got so much information to give. That was Eleanor Mills, again, from our interviews from their Wellbeing Symposium a couple of weeks ago. You are tuned in to Who Cares Wins Radio. We are airing various interviews we got from the Wellbeing Symposium. So thank you for everyone that had some time to share with us. And sorry for those that we missed. There was still a few, you know, oodles of people that we could have spoken to. I think we need more roaming reporters next time. One thing that also Eleanor did talk about in her speech, which I wrote down and wanted to just share with you all, listener, was she put up a photo of the Belgium health minister, who wasn't necessarily
a petite lady
who would maybe you would necessarily think would be very up on her health and well-being around nutrition and activity. But she did say, out of all of this, she was sort of highlighting a point about in business and whether it's women or men.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, the quote that Eleanor said was, if you've got to be taken seriously, you have to look lean, mean and fit for purpose.
Yes.
And actually, whatever you're doing in life, whether it's to do with countdown to Christmas, whether it's to do with somebody's birthday celebration, whether it's to do with your own business, or just thinking about your health and well-being, actually, am I lean, mean, and fit for purpose in relation to what I'm doing?
And if I met me, would I think I did what I do?
Oh, that was a very deep question there, Jan. I was like, you know, yeah, that's a great coaching question. If you were talking to your six-year-old, you know, you, the six-year you years ago, in my case, you know, what advice would you give them from your jar of hindsight? I'd be there for hours.
Jar of hindsight, I like it.
Jar of hindsight. Just, you know, I always have my little jar. Do you not have your jar of hindsight with you?
No.
Oh, yes. Jar of hindsight. And something that was mentioned last week with Simon Thorpe, who I'm now going to be a lovely guest on his Wellbeing at Work Masterclass on Wednesday.
This Wednesday coming?
This Wednesday. So I'll let you know, listener, about this fabulous masterclass that he runs. But yes, one of the things he talked about was the Success Journal, if you remember, Jan. He was saying about, you know, put in, or he called it the happiness. I wrote it down here. He calls it something different. A happiness scrapbook, personal well-being scrapbook. But yeah, jar of hindsight. Just think about if that jar of hindsight was sitting on the table, what would it be full of? And sometimes it's about reaching in that jar of hindsight and pulling out some of those little nuggets and going, yes, consider that. One of the other things she told us about was about new research that people don't take all their holiday. Those people that don't take all their holiday are often ill and more time is taken off from work.
Mm.
So if you don't take your holiday, I'm going to send the boys around. The other thing that was mentioned that would be great to share with you, listener, is if you don't know about it, because I didn't, I know about Mumsnet, but Eleanor also said that there is something out there called Maternity Action.
Oh, yes, this is a great site, isn't it?
Great site for help and support if you are already pregnant at work, thinking about what to do and how to do and where it goes, or if thinking about a mum returning to work. All sorts of lovely resources, apparently.
And really lots of legal advice. And she said there's a very big difference between being pregnant, being newly mother, and being back at work with baby.
The legal situation changes quite drastically.
So you need to be aware of those time changes.
Definitely. There's just so much to get in the show. I just like, where do I start? I need to talk faster, Jen.
She now
has her head in her hands, listener. But yeah, I just think this is relevant to whether it's women at work or men at work. And one thing she mentioned right at the end there about don't give up, keep some form of you intact, you know, keeping contact with your institute or some form of, you know, we have for women returners, we have those, contact days, don't we? What they're called. Someone out there will know what they're called. I've forgotten. My memory's gone today. But it's a keep in touch day.
Right.
So if you're on maternity leave, you can still be involved with the organisation.
Okay. Right.
And I think that's great. But also don't forget the men in your workforce and remember them too, because they often are on paternity leave. They may have just as much, responsibility and involvement in the family at home. And so we need to consider that at the workplace as well. But fabulous speaker, fabulous. Those two, were a great double act, weren't they?
That links back to the Sonia thing of the primary school and the community spirit and looking after each other.
Really did.
Which gets lost in the workplace. If we can get that back in the workplace, it's not just, you know, it used to be personnel, then it went to HR, then it went to, it's somebody over there who's got my P45. I don't want the P45, I want to have a conversation with somebody. It's filling those gaps in between.
Now, Jan.
Yes, Angela.
You like a bit of Christmas cake, don't you?
Gluten-free Christmas cake, I'm with you.
Oh, mine's not gluten-free, I'm very sorry. Oh. But I do have an alternative for you.
Yeah,
a musical version. Do you remember this?
Yes, I like this one.
I love this. Do you know all the words yet, Jan?
Almost. I'm not singing along. It's in my head.
Okay. Where the reindeer fly, and it always snows. I want a Christmas like the Christmas in the cake shop window, where the robins sing and the pine trees grow and the children skate on a little mirror lake. I want a Christmas like the Christmas on a Christmas cake. Some people roll their eyes and shudder at the thought. They say it's all commercialized, it's not magic anymore. Well, if that's the way they want it, it's all the same to me.
Cause it's not what you look at, it's what you choose to see. And I see a Christmas like the Christmas in the cake shop window, where the toys pile high upon Santa's sleigh. Yeah, I see a Christmas like the Christmas in the cake shop window, where the snowman's smile never melts away, and the children skate on a little mirror lake. I want a Christmas like the Christmas on a Christmas cake. The years seem to go faster, you might think I'd have enough of all the sugar plaster and that jolly holly stuff. But each year that passes, it means a little more, cause every Christmas day is made of all the ones before. Yeah, every Christmas day is made of all the ones before.
Channel Radio, broadcasting from Hagelands Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channel Radio.
Yay! We have a little Christmas theme going on here on Who Cares Wins show this afternoon. You're listening to me, Angela Bryer Stevenson, all about Christmas, because I'm so excited. It's the 1st of December. That means that it's only 23 days until the day arrives where we can just cherish what Christmas is all about for those that follow it. Jan, of course, is busy here in the studio keeping me company. Yay!
Trying to keep her calm. Oh, no. Doesn't always work.
Never. I refuse. And so we are touching on Christmas, but one thing I do want to share is from my own personal experience at the moment. I know there are some people out there who are struggling with Christmas. It's probably the last thing on their menu, with various concerns, health issues, a loss of a partner. And so I just want to send out my wishes and my kindness to you, sending you hugs, because I want people to encourage to think about Christmas being also a time to reflect and remember the good Christmases. It may be sad, maybe they're not with you this time, maybe yes, Christmas can be an issue of I wish they were here and I'm lonely, or somebody's going through a really tough time with illness, but actually there's a whole host, and that song said it for me there, that every Christmas day is made of all the ones before. So just a, you know, an element of finding comfort somewhere in maybe some of the memories that you've made along the way.
The good times.
But yeah, my wishes to you all out there. And if you are got little kids, little family, then of course the excitement there. But to try and curb that excitement.
You don't need kids for excitement. I'm looking at the living proof of that across the desk at the moment.
I refuse to give up. I refuse to grow up even.
What did you buy at the weekend?
Oh yes, I bought very quickly, listener. Just briefly, is that I bought, well, actually two things I haven't told you about, Jo. But people will know that you can have lights and things outside your house, which I'm not a lover of the whole American thing. I'm quite reserved in my Christmas decorations, even though I'm quite excitable.
Don't believe a word of it.
But actually they had these Christmas presents. They're like a box. They look like a Christmas gift wrapped box.
It's like a little parcel.
Little parcel with a bow on top. And there's three of them, different sizes, three different boxes that have got lights inside. So you put them outside in your garden or outside your front door, and we light them up at night. And they look so cute. So, of course, we went up and I'm like, oh, look at those. And my husband's like, you know how it works. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, you get so excited. He said, I love Christmas just watching you and your excitement. He said, that's where I get my joy from. He said, so if you want them, let's get them. So I was like this little kid bouncing down this particular shop, bouncing down the aisle going, yay. All the other people in the shop were like, mm. But it did bring a smile. It did bring a smile to people's faces, and that's my challenge for the day. Excellent. Bring people a smile to their face. Talking of Christmas, we do have, and we did mention it on Twitter, but we are launching our own Countdown to Christmas on Who Cares Wins radio show. And we are today opening door one of our little advent calendar for you. So every day from now until Christmas Day, we will share with you a little door with a picture and a thought or a tip or an idea or a suggestion that can relate to Christmas, or in fact can relate to any time of the year. Yeah. It doesn't actually relate to Christmas in that if you're not celebrating Christmas, it doesn't relate to you.
Yes,
of course,
they want you to stop on the 26th.
It's still relevant. So yes, we're going to share that on Facebook, and also we're going to have, if I get my technology skills together, a little advent calendar. So it'll also be on our website, whocareswinsradio.co.uk. And we just wanted to share. It's a time of giving, and Jan and I decided we wanted to create a little bit of sharing. So you've got 24 bits of us.
Yes, we can't make mince pies for you all, so have
exactly.
An advent window
so
instead.
So there we are, and we'll be sharing those, some on air and some, just to say, in the week. So if you're listening on Thursday, door four, what was behind door four?
Mm-hmm.
And are you doing it? Let us know how you're getting on. So, Jan, you also caught up some people. You wrestled them to the ground, didn't you? And
I did.
The undergrowth, you found somebody.
I did. I found Liza Schofield from Garden Organic, and actually they're a charity. And they encourage people to grow your own, but they also provide master gardeners to teach you how to grow your
own.
That's what I need. So they go into communities, into societies, into homes, wherever there's a group of people that could benefit from their services.
Great.
They can go in. They also run Facebook pages for regions.
Doesn't
matter where you are in the UK, have a look on the Garden Organic website. Chances are they've got a group near you somewhere. Let's get involved.
Well,
and they have some fantastic things on their stand.
So it's Liza Schofield.
So I'm at
You're giggling, Jaya.
Symposium, and I'm visiting now the Garden Organic stand, and I'm with Liza Schofield. Hello, Liza.
Hello, nice to be here and nice to speak to you.
So tell me all about Garden Organic.
Okay, well, Garden Organic is the national charity which promotes organic growing through the country, and we have a number of programmes which encourage people to grow organically to have a better lifestyle, better health and well-being, and that's what we're here for today.
Excellent. So you've got some examples on the table here. Looks like a pea project from school.
We have, well, one thing we do is try and encourage people to get growing in a really simple and easy way, things that they can do on windowsills and so forth. So what you're looking at there is ordinary dried supermarket peas,
right,
which have been soaked overnight, popped into compost, and within 3 to 4 weeks you'll have little pea shoots which you can snip off and eat raw or put in stir fries. They're great for kids, and it's a very cheap way to grow.
Now, you said dried supermarket.
Yep.
So is this a pea within a husk, or am I taking a frozen pea?
Think mushy peas.
Mushy pea,
yeah.
From a tin, then?
No. From a packet.
From a packet,
yeah.
Okay.
So normal packet dried peas in supermarkets.
Oh, okay.
They're very cheap, about 50-60p for quite a big bag, and they should keep you going for about 6 months, I reckon.
Excellent. Now, I'm looking at something that looks, not really sure how to describe this, a gigantic pear, but with dimples.
Okay, that was a little bit more complicated. that's a chayote or a chocho.
Okay.
So that's a more of a tropical fruit.
Right.
It's an example of something that you could grow here, which has come from the plants have been brought here by communities moving to this country and then growing their own food and bringing their own plants with them. So that's a really nice example of something a bit more unusual.
Excellent.
That you can grow.
And lots of brochures on the table that people can take. So there are membership magazines.
Yeah, we're a membership organisation, and our members fund our campaigning work, so we campaign as well on a lot of issues, for instance against pesticides which damage our pollinators, against the European Seed Directive which is stopping people saving their own seeds to grow their own plants from. So we're a campaigning organisation as well, and our membership funds that, and our members are very involved in campaigning. We're also a research organisation, so we do a lot of trials, and we also run programmes programmes, one of which is our Master Gardener programme.
There's a t-shirt on the wall behind us here.
Exactly, where our Master Gardener volunteers, who wear these really lovely t-shirts with the words Master Gardener on the back, and they go out into the community and they help other people to start growing their own food. So our volunteers are experienced food growers and they spread their knowledge. And that's a really nice programme.
Are they all volunteers?
Yeah, we have there's several hundred of them throughout the country. Wow. So this is a programme that runs nationally. It's originally funded through the National Lottery, through their local food programme. But it's been, since the funding came to an end from the lottery, it's been picked up by public health departments within councils. Okay. Because people who have taken part in the Master Gardener programme, both as volunteers and as the beneficiaries, have been demonstrating real lifestyle changes and really good health and well-being results from being part of the programme.
Was quite good, that song, Jan. That
it's
you found.
Good.
That was for Peter, Paul, and Mary that sang that, called Garden Song. So we thought that was very appropriate. Just have a little tweak there at the end of the interview. So lovely. We are fast approaching the end of our show, and also one of the other ones that we've posted and tweeted is we caught up with a guy who's actually now going to be a guest on the show. So we thought it was very appropriate to air his little interview that I had with him. He is Neil De Silva of Ultimate Wellness, and he's coming on the show in a couple of weeks' time. So we thought it'd be great for you to just hear what Neil is all about. And of course, I had great oodles of conversation with him because he's a fellow biker. So enjoy, and we'll hear from another man that I accosted at the Wellbeing Symposium.
You do that a lot.
I'm still roaming at the Wellbeing Symposium, having a fabulous time, having all sorts of teas and coffees and crisps, but they're all very healthy, listener, panic not. And I've bumped into a very handsome gentleman who's also a fellow biker, so of course we had to have a chat. Neil from Ultimate. Ultimate, and that's U-L-T-I-M, and then the number 8. So, it's got nutrition and wellness underneath, Neil. Tell me more. What is it?
Ultimate is a nutrition consultancy.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually a qualified nutritionist and wellness coach.
Right, don't look at my crisps.
Exactly. And I help individuals and companies to become healthier. So, individuals on a one-to-one basis.
Yep.
But I'm also looking to go into companies from next year.
Oh, great.
And actually work with companies in trying to help them to have better staff health, which will
and
result.
And healthy snacks in the snack machines.
Absolutely.
And
less
like
fizzy drinks, less teas and coffees.
Yes.
Good for me because obviously it's good time leverage.
Yes.
Good for the employees because they'll be healthier.
That's right.
Eventually they get my time for free because the employer will pay for it.
Of course.
Also good for the employer as well because they'll look quite good in the eyes of their employees, and they'll have less staff sickness, downtime, less illness. So it's kind of good all around.
So what brings you to the Wellbeing Symposium? Was it something that a particular speaker that interested you?
Not particularly. It was recommended by a friend of mine called Liz Almond.
I know Liz. Yeah, she's been on the show.
Yes, Liz is a good friend of mine.
Lovely Liz.
Liz said that the event was running.
Yeah.
And obviously the industry that I work in, I'm very much into networking.
Great.
So it was an opportunity to expand my network.
Yeah.
I network very much within ABC Networks.
Yes, I know them.
I'm actually a group leader for one of the groups.
Another hat you wear.
Absolutely. So for me, it was a good opportunity to branch out, extend my network, meet great people like you.
Oh,
that ordinarily,
more.
Ordinarily, maybe I wouldn't have actually met
no.
Moving within the circles that I do.
And for our listeners, I'm deciding now that we're going to get tips from people today. So what would be your tip for health and well-being for our listeners, something that they could do that's fairly easy, either at home or at work?
For most people, and indeed most clients that I see, I'd say 9 out of 10 are dehydrated. And actually, water performs such an important metabolic function within the body.
Yes.
I could bore you senseless with it, but
we'll
I won't.
We'll do that later. Should come and get you on the show, I
absolutely,
think.
Absolutely, absolutely. But suffice to say, people don't drink enough water. For my clients, I try to get them to aim for a target of 3 litres per day.
Wow, that's
which is
lot.
Actually quite easy to achieve if you do it in the right way.
Yeah.
So, for example, I drink half a litre when I wake up in the morning, within 10 minutes. I drink half a litre before I go to bed. And those half a litres perform different functions, but actually they're quite important to the body at those different times of day. And actually getting 2 litres a day in a 12 to 15 hour day is not that difficult.
Right.
And most people don't drink enough water. They drink too much in terms of fizzy drinks.
Yes.
Too much tea, too much coffee, all the sorts of things that are bad for them.
Sugary drinks, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for most people that aren't drinking water, drink more water.
Right.
So if you're drinking a bit of water, try and drink more.
Maybe a little more.
Yeah, actually, 2 to 3 litres is a good target to aim for.
But so those that like goals can have that little number in their head.
Absolutely. Brilliant. And, you know, it improves lots of things within the body. If you've got lower back pain, it can help that. Joint issues, people that have got dry skin, those sorts of things. There's lots of reasons for drinking more water.
I think we need you on the show. Let's talk about that in more detail.
Absolutely.
Thanks for spending some time with me.
You're welcome.
So that was Neil De Silva from Ultimate. That's ULTIM with the number 8. So all about nutrition. One thing though, I was a little bit, when you heard me on that interview, said, 3 litres, up to 3 litres. I'm very passionate, as you know, Jan, about, being hydrated. And that's one of your key points with your clients too.
You'll find it on the advent.
Do hydrate, but do think about how you're hydrating and don't overkill with the water, because actually you can do harm as well by having too much water and nothing else. So we need to make sure we get the nutrients in our body, which I'm sure he'll talk about more when he comes on our show. So you're looking at fruits, vegetables, they have a water content. Bread has a water content. So just be aware of everything you're having throughout the day.
I would imagine that when he advises, it's within a package of other things, isn't it? We can all take something in isolation and go, oh, hang on a minute.
So we are nearly at the end. Our advent door has been opened, listener. And today is a little picture of a holly tree. And the little thought for you for this week, or even just for this day, is consider, spread happiness to those around you. Leave the prickles to the holly tree.
It's its purpose.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I know it can be prickly and heat with the Christmas, you know.
Anger Awareness Week.
So, Jan,
yes.
Fast rate of knots. We've got some events we must shout out about.
Couple of events. Firstly, from Florence Perot, our Sophrology Academy lady, in Canterbury, group practice sophrology discovery sessions. Come and join us on Saturdays from 5 till 6 p.m. once a month at Concord House for a gentle relaxation and guided meditation group session. They are free.
F-R-E-E.
Absolutely. So the next one is December the 6th, this coming Saturday. And if you miss it because of other things getting in the way, January the 10th will be the first one after
new year,
the new year.
New start.
So we'll post contact details for that.
Fab.
And Francis Beaumont from Dyspraxia UK, and has now launched Dyspraxia Action, the charity for dyspraxia. They're having their Christmas lunch in Faversham.
Yum, yum.
On Thursday, the 11th of December. If you're interested, it's dyspraxiaaction, all one word, at gmail.com. Again, we'll post details on there because there's lots of other events going on around Dyspraxia Action throughout the year.
Wow. And of course, we've mentioned it is World AIDS Day today.
It is.
The other thing is to remember that next week we have a guest coming in on the show, as well as a few more interviews from Wellbeing Symposium. We do have a guest, and that's the lovely Jane Keat from Arbonne International, which is all the wonderful goodies, health and wellbeing wise, for your face and your body.
And normally this is where I leave the room because I'm not, but actually her story as to how she got interested in the product range.
Well, actually, that's the more the health and well-being aspect.
It
is obviously, and I think she needs to go and look good, feel good as well from the beauty and fashion aspect. But from the health and well-being aspect, her story is interesting.
Absolutely.
So she's joining us next week. We're going to open our doors every day. So watch out on Facebook for our little doors of
advent
inspiration.
Doors, not house doors.
No.
We won't be standing there with a cup of tea and a mince pie.
Good fresh air. Get some fresh air in the house. Enjoy the rest of your week, listener. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy our listen again if you are listening on Thursday. Happy Thursdays. And we'll speak to you all next week.
Have a great week all.
It's My Life by Billy Joel.